for that day, the day, the day, when we will see Jesus. One of my favorite hymns says, there will be no need to pray anymore on that day. Pray that the Lord will see us to that glorious day when the reward of the saints will be shown, when our labor of love, our expectation, and our hope will be displayed. I pray that we will not be people who will hold on. They're almost, when we're almost there, we'll go back in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That we will hold this beginning of our confidence as we learned last week, steadfast unto the very end, loving our Lord Jesus. Please let us pray. Father, I thank you before we so much as say it. Father, you have done. I just want to thank you for everything you've been teaching us over the years. And you said we should exhort one another each day, as long as the calendar reads the day, so that none of us will fall into the deceitfulness of sin. Father, as we are going to take your word, which is the everlasting light, which is the one that corrects, that frees, that sets free, your word, which is the embodiment of all wisdom, your word that reveals Jesus to us, the perfect human. Father, we pray, Lord, that it will please you to speak to our hearts. Father, there's almost all these stories, we've heard them before at one time or the other in Sunday school. But by the interpretation of the Holy Spirit, they are always fresh. He said, in the keeping of this word of yours, Lord, there's great reward. Father, I pray that you please reveal new things to us this morning. Help us to be blessed. Father, is there a situation that you have ordained, Lord, in your sovereignty that we'll face? Please give us a word, Father, that will prepare us, that will be overcomers in Jesus' name. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for worship. Thank you for all our families. Thank you for the health you've given to us, the resources that allow us to sit comfortably and connect together despite what is happening regarding our infrastructure in church. Father, we thank you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Jesus, please glorify yourself. Everything is about your glory. Please magnify yourself. We seek not knowledge, we seek rather the knowledge of you. Please magnify yourself, make possible within us that which is impossible. Coming out of this meeting, we pray that all of us, we know you a little bit more in the name of Jesus, and we'll feel your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. I was going to continue to talk about this issue that the Lord had laid on my mind, which is the need not just to start, which we started last week, but also to finish, to make sure we finish strong. Because if there's an area of need today, it is to encourage believers to keep on keeping on. If there's an area of need, the common story is we see one another after years, and the common refrain is, we used to be so fervent in the Lord when we were in school. And these are all sad, sad stories, because the path of the righteous ought to get brighter and brighter every day. So I always reckon one of the saddest stories when you meet a believer that you used to know, used to be a mentor, or used to walk with you to the house of the Lord, and all they have to talk to you about after maybe 20 years of meeting is business or children. And you're going to be amazed. I'm sure you've encountered how common this is. Perhaps there are even people on this call that used to be extremely excited about Jesus Christ. But fast forward, the story you're saying in your heart is when I used to be born again. I had a friend that used to say that until I pointed out to him how sad that narrative was. So I was going to do that, and then I met Brother Peter again at Seed Chest meeting last night. And he totally changed what I knew I had to talk about this morning. Because he shared with us something occurred to me that I felt would be very useful for us to hear as a body moving into a new week. With that, let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. And I'll read this story real quick. And if there's going to be a title to this, I don't know. I've been struggling with titling this generally, sermons generally. But especially this one, I want to call it Loving Jesus More. I want to call it The Expensive Perfume. I want to call it the really fanciful thing to call the alabaster. No, this wasn't alabaster. The spikenard, the perfume, the spikenard, the Bible calls it. Just all kinds of things. But essentially, let's just call it our perfume this morning. And I think what comes to me as I'm thinking about it is, who gets your most expensive perfume? That's what I'll title it. Who gets your most expensive perfume? And it's such a, the word of God is so beautiful, brethren, so consistent. There are so many nuggets of truth and revelation in God's word. I pray that God will grant us understanding. Every breath, every word, every teaching, every interaction that Jesus had with his disciples, all of them have significance to us in this time and age. I pray that the Lord will enable us to learn more. If we spent our entire life learning from Jesus, we'll have more than enough lessons left by the time we die. We ought to become so familiar with the Lord Jesus and pray the Holy Spirit to interpret to us these simple words that Christ our Savior just drops. He just says it. And many of these words are within the Bible and we forget about them. Or when we know them, we really don't know the depth and the meaning of these words until the Holy Spirit interprets them. I believe this passage is one of those. So Brother Peter had brought up this passage. It's also repeated in the book of Mark. It's repeated in the book of John. Same story, a little more detail every time. But I'll read this real quick from verse 6. It's projected on the, I'm sharing it. And when Jesus, verse 6, chapter 26 of Matthew, said our Lord Jesus was in Bethany. He was in the house of Simon the leper. Then this woman came to him, and this woman had an alabaster flask. So it's alabaster, okay? This alabaster flask, Matthew tells us that it had very costly fragrant oil or perfume. And this woman poured it on the Lord's head right there as the Lord was sitting on the table. Now, his disciples saw it in verse 8, and they were angry. And they said, what a waste. This fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. I wanted to just take a moment and think about this. Looks like a regular event, but think about it. Let's get the context of this story straight. Regular day, the Lord at the meal in Simon the Leper's. It's another sermon entirely about Simon the Leper, but that's not what this passage is about. A meal in a leper's house. Or once upon a leper, the Bible did not give detail. A woman comes in, brings in an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant perfume. What I'm going to deduce here is that not only was the perfume costly, but even the flask itself was something special for the Bible to mention what it's made of. I have no idea what alabaster is. Then the disciples, those who should know better, came to him and said, or rather they said, whether they said it out or they said it in their hearts or they were murmuring it, what a waste. And what this tells me is this must have been very expensive perfume. In fact, if you read the same story in John 12, 1 to 8, John gave us a little bit more detail. He added two details to it. Number one, John told us that this Simon the leper was the father of Judas Iscariot, So those of you who, I never knew that, I've been reading this since I got born again. I never noticed that part, that I didn't even know Judas Iscariot had a father. I thought he was born by Satan. But apparently he had a regular dad and they lived in Bethany. Which means three characters that we read about in the Bible lived in Bethany. Actually four: Lazarus, Mary, Martha, now Simon, and Judas Iscariot. They were all citizens of Bethany, that glorious town, like we have other glorious towns in this age and time. You all know one of them. Some of you had the privilege of flying over one of them when you went for liberty. Let's get the context. And I'm doing this deliberately because I want us to relate to the story. So in John chapter 12, John added that this perfume cost something like 300 denarii or thereabout. And I was thinking about it, that what would that be worth in today's money? And I really don't know, and I frankly don't care. But what I do know that the Bible told us is that it's almost a year's wage. And the person writing that it was a year's wage was John. Okay? So John was probably poor. But a year's wage of a poor man's salary is still some money. There are all kinds of things on the internet. Between every guess is between $1,000 to $4,000 of perfume, but I frankly don't care. All I know is that those who were present felt this could be sold and it would have been very useful in serving the poor. So this woman came and poured to some people. She was wasting it, her most expensive perfume, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who should know better felt that was a waste. They felt this could have been used to do ministry. It could have served better purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ, after all, was not in need of a perfume. But we know a lot of poor people around. But what did the Lord say in verse 10? The Bible says, when Jesus was aware of it, he said to these disciples, them, plural. But when you read John, John actually added some detail. John told us that the disciple was actually, of course, the usual suspect, Judas Iscariot, because he was a thief. But at least Matthew here and Mark also, their own rendition of this story says disciples. So what I guess is the rumbling was started by a Judas, isn't it always? And then it spread. And what was their complaint was there could be better use. But Jesus said, why do you trouble the woman? She has done a good work for me. Because you have the poor with you always, but me, you do not always have. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And we're fulfilling that prophecy today. Today, we are talking about this woman. There are a few lessons from this. There's service and then there's love. The disciples were ready to follow Jesus at this point. They were ready to be sent in a pair to cast out demons and raise the dead. They were ready to forsake their fathers and mothers and follow Jesus Christ. They were ready to walk. But this woman did something different from what they were doing. She was ready to love Jesus. As of this time, the disciples' mind was set on the work to be done, the poor to be relieved, the gospel to be preached, the kingdom to be spread. But this woman understands something, that all of that must be secondary to loving Jesus. The question today is, who gets your best perfume? And I think this is really missing in Christendom. I was really excited because the Lord had been really speaking to me about a similar thing before Brother Peter raised this. And I think it's been dropped. The phrase, it came to me as, I know you love Jesus, but are you in love with Jesus? Remember, I think I've asked us that question a few times in church. And I think we ought to pray that we capture the heart of God, love before service. And it shows. A lot of people are ready to go to church. They are ready to serve. They are ready to do this. They are ready to do that. They are ready to do. And if we still notice, if we remember that someone 10 shackles and a shirt, it's all service if Jesus does not come first. The call to Christ is a call to love. The Bible says God is love. Before you can serve Jesus acceptably, you must first love him. He loved us so much that he gave. Those who love Jesus will not shame him. Those who love Jesus will not be envious. Those who love Jesus, love will cover all of these evils. Those who love Jesus will bruise ego in their ministry because they do things for Christ, not for result. There's no difference loving God, loving men, loving Jesus. Love is the same. Everybody knows what love feels like. Love will look at its most expensive perfume. Love will look like its most precious shirt. Love will look at its most precious time, and it will be ready to offer it to the beloved at whatever cost. But service will fail you. One day you will get tired. When it looks as though the result is not coming quickly, love will endure, but service will fail. That's why when the Lord resurrected and met the fishermen, remember, immediately after the ascension, what did they do? They went back to fishing. And the question of the Lord, when he made them breakfast, and his question to them, to Peter, was, do you really love me? Do you love me more than this? Christ keeps calling us to love him. Many times it sounds like he's calling us to serve him. So again, to whom do we reserve our most expensive perfume? You see, David is one of the most beautiful characters, memorable characters in the Bible. He wasn't a mere prophet, but somehow we remember him more than all of them because he seemed to have a heart thing going with God. He loved the Lord. He's the one that will write a hymn for the Lord. Dance before the Lord with reckless abandon, although he had accomplished everything as a warrior, as a king, as a poet. I was saying to some people that if David was alive, honestly, nobody will win the Nobel Prize for Literature except him. Not even Shakespeare, because I don't see anything comparing to those Psalms. Compared to those Psalms. The man loved the Lord. Abraham loved the Lord. Even when there was no result, he loved the Lord his God. Love always leaves an eternal memorial. Jesus is calling us this morning and saying, have you reserved your most precious time? A lot of people are ready to go to prayer meeting, but they're not ready to spend 5 minutes alone with the Lord. Just like a lot of fathers are ready to buy their family expensive cars and house, but they cannot spare their family a few minutes. Cannot spare their children. There's a flavor to love that has nothing to do with money or service. I don't know how many times I've heard this. What else do you want from me? Did I not build? Did I not buy? How was I not? He said, you don't understand. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't understand. And he really just doesn't understand. And he seems perplexed. What have I done? What do others do that I've not done? I've done. But the problem is you've done. You haven't been. Jesus is not. The done will be taken care of if the be is taken care of. Love. If you look all over the Bible keeps telling us God is love. God is love. On the screen is 1 Corinthians 13. And I think it illustrates this, just the first few verses. And I don't know, I remember when I was a younger Christian and I'll read this and I'll be amazed at the first three verses. That what is this verse talking? How is it possible to speak with the tongues of men and speak with the tongues of angels and have not love? And the writer, Paul, in his spiritual wisdom, said it's just like brass that's standing. I don't know, you know when a band is playing, the brass sound is a very intimidating sound, but it's noise. Or the clanging of cymbals. He said, even if I have the gift of prophecy, if I understand all the mysteries, if I can quote the Bible page to page, back to cover, pali to pali, and I have all the faith in the world, and I'm able to move mountains, but I do not have love. He says, I am nothing before the Lord. Even though you can bestow all your goods to feed the poor, you can give your body to, this was the one that amazed me, that you can actually give your body to be burned at stake, but you have not love, it's not going to profit you anything. They went on to describe what love is. And I think that passage we just read, Christ was illustrating in the behavior of this woman why a relationship with him is much more important than service, and how why we need to pay attention to relationship. The Bible further illustrates this in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. This story, ever since I read it a long time ago, it had never ceased to really, really intrigue me. It's a story of Cain and Abel. In verse 2, it says, then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground. Nice offering. I mean, you're a farmer. You can only bring offering of fruit. We can only offer what we have. Verse 4. But in describing what Abel brought, it said Abel also brought of the firstborn. He qualified the gift of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. To whom do you reserve the fat and the firstborn of your time, of your heart, of your worship, of your trust? Is it Jesus? This was what there are all kinds of theology that cannot be backed up anywhere in the Bible, that is because one was a sacrifice of blood. The man, Cain, was not a shepherd. He did not have a sheep. The Lord will receive from your hand what you have to offer, but he will not receive anyhow gifts. And we can go to the book of Malachi, which further taught us, in which the Lord said, look at your governors. He said, what you are offering to me, will you dare offer it to your governors? There, in all of these, both of these cases, the Lord was talking about the heart with which we offer him things, which of course is a measure of how much you love him. So of course, those who offer spotted calf, they just looked around. Nobody is there. Oh, maybe it's ordinary thing. Let's just go and offer anything. Just go and take one. Let's just go and offer anything. But that is a sign that we do not love the Lord. The Lord sees in secret. You see, this fellowship of the Spirit that Christ has called us to, let's watch our hearts. Let's not offer anyhow sacrifices to the Lord. Let's serve the Lord as though we are the only ones serving him. God knows what is left after you've given your stuff. He knows the heart with which you give it, more than any man. In rounding up, I'd like us to read one more story, very related story to that. Luke tells us a very similar story, but it's quite different. Same case of perfume, but different scenarios. So in Luke chapter 7, we start reading from verse 36. I think Simi read this morning. This time, it was a Pharisee. It wasn't Simon the leper. It was a Pharisee. Okay? Asked him over to eat. And the Lord went into the Pharisee's house. This wasn't in Bethany. Right? So it's a different, similar story, but different scenario. So the Lord sat down. Then a woman in the city who was a sinner, that was Mary. The first story was Mary. This one was a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought again an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, stood at his feet behind him, weeping. So this woman was seeking penitence, right? And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. When last did you treat Jesus this way, my brothers and sisters? You know, we have created this perception that Jesus is so in need of children to be saved. He's just so hungry, just come. He's begging you to please just come and be saved. Well, that is true. He came for sinners. But what kind of sinner are you? And we're going to see it as we finish reading this story. Are you a proud sinner that thinks God owes you salvation? Are you weeping? Are you washing his feet with your tears? Do you even have a tear of shame for your sins? Many of us are shameless about our sins. We don't even consider them sins. And she was anointing the feet of Jesus, verse 38. And then the king of sinners, Pharisees, who really don't know that they are sinners. What did he say? Verse 39. He spoke to himself. He didn't say it out. He said, this man, if he were really a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Notice the contempt that this man, you know, it's not everybody that invites you to dinner that has respect for you. You know, they might invite you to dinner because they want to test you. They might invite you to dinner because that's the chic. Don't think it's everybody that invites you to the occasion that loves you. See how he refers to the Lord, this man. You think that if he was a Pharisee inviting Jesus, he might be one of those, what do you call it, sympathetic Pharisees. But see what his heart was saying, this man. Contempt, no love. Contrast his behavior to the behavior of this woman that was described as a sinner. But see how the Lord responds. And brethren, there's a lot to be learned from Jesus. The Lord heard every word that this man spoke in his heart. But Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. What does that tell you? Remember, we always say we must also learn from the tone of the Bible. The Lord did not return his contempt with contempt. The Lord called him by his name. If someone goes to Barakuli and say, this man, come here, he'll be annoyed. Especially if his name tag is right there. Some of us, if they even pronounce our names wrong, we'll be angry. Say Bumai instead of Bumi. We'll be, oh, my name is Bumi. Actually, my name is Olubumi. You don't get to call me Bumi anymore. Because if it was, that's the thing. Well, because if it was Schwarzenegger, you will know how to pronounce it. Well, YouTube, when you become governor of California, they will know how to pronounce your name. Until then, you are Bumai. But the Lord called this man Simon. I have something to say to you. And then, when he knew that the Lord would hear him, when he was speaking with his mouth, he now said, teacher. In his heart, he was saying, this man. But thank God, the Lord always hears and knows what is in our hearts, not just what our mouth is saying. Say, teacher, say it. And the Lord said, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both of them. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And the Lord said, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no for my feet. She washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in here. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Does it not make you wonder whether maybe our sins are not many? That's why we don't praise Jesus enough. Is it that we really don't see ourselves, or we don't see the depth and the weight of Jesus, what Jesus has done for us? May the Lord help us to love him. The sermon today is to whom, I'm not saying, are you serving the Lord today? That's not the sermon. I'm saying, to whom have you reserved your best? For whom? Is it for Jesus alone? Jesus expects us to love him much. He expects relationship ahead of service. We cannot substitute one for the other. In fact, I dare say, your service is fake if Jesus is not bursting in your heart. 1 Corinthians 13, it might as well be a waste of time. On judgment day, everything will be revealed. You cannot love Jesus and hate your brothers. You cannot love Jesus and be selfish. It's not possible. Because when you love someone, you are committed to them. You copy them. And you cannot love Jesus and not serve him. But it all starts from loving Jesus. So once again, I say, to whom is your most expensive perfume reserved? I pray that on judgment day, Peter, what was that hymn that we sang last night? I surrender all. Unto thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I say to you, brothers, as I close, sisters, listen. We have this lifetime to prove our ministry. Very soon, the Lord will remove everyone alive hearing the gospel this morning, and fresh new people will be on earth. The time is very short. The price is very big. The Lord is very compassionate. Let us spend our time loving Jesus. Let us encourage one another to love Jesus. God has offered us love in the form of his son. Let our focus be to study love, that our love may grow more and more with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let us follow him. Let's copy him. Let's be his mouthpiece. Let's not spend our time studying other things. Forget all of those doctrines and theologies and all of that nonsense. Love is the highest and the best theology. Let's encourage one another. Let's tell one another Jesus' stories. The Bible says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't keep your eyes on useless theology. You can have all the gifts in the world and you're proud and you're a peacock and arrogant, and you will not know it. You will think you're serving the Lord. The Pharisees did. You can be following Jesus up and down and not knowing that you do not love him, like some of these disciples here, who did not know that the person before them is the object of their worship. That the whole reason for heaven and earth, the whole reason for the brotherhood and salvation, for redemption, is Jesus, because God loves his son and wanted to do a great thing through his son. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. That's why it's not the clever that are called to salvation. It's not the most theological. It's not the most anointed. It's as many as believe in him. To whom do you reserve your most expensive perfume? God is asking for it. Let us pray. Thank you, Father. We confess our humanity, but I thank you for your provision in our humanity. Your grace is more than sufficient for us. You can bring us, it's your grace that brings us to truth. And it is your truth that you have spoken to us this morning. I pray that we will not reject it. Pray, Lord, what we're incapable of doing, you will help us to do it. As we strive, as many as strive to know you better, help us, Father, to find you. Thank you. Pray that we'll not just offer you our words, our services, our dogmas anymore, or our cliches. I pray, Father, that you give to us the grace like David, the grace like Abel, the grace like Abraham, the grace like this blessed Mary, who we mention and we fulfilled your prophecy today, to love you, to consider nothing in our possession too precious for you. Pray we will not just merely love your word or love your church or love your people. Help us to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.